Good to see everybody here this morning. Brian is in El Dorado preaching. He was going to last Sunday, then all the ice storm came in and did not make that trip, obviously. Likewise, they always want to follow up, so he's down there this morning preaching, teaching there. So I'm going to fill in for him. We talked a little bit about it, what we wanted to do in this class time. Because we had followed up right after talking about the wisdom of Solomon, and we'll cover some of that again. Hello? Can we not hear? Is that better? Okay. I understand, believe me. I'm deaf in one ear and can't hear with the other. So we talked about the concept of wisdom and just kind of follow up on that. I know we've kind of passed that when he went into the class on Wednesday night, but that's okay. We'll talk about wisdom this morning, and we'll start off with a prayer, then get into some stuff that I think is really, hopefully it's helpful in this class. You know me, I'm not the dynamic speaker that Brian is, but hopefully I'll impart some information that we can all benefit from. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Holy Father, we are so thankful for this, another beautiful day that you granted to us. God and Father, for the opportunity we have today to live in a nation such as this, that we can come together and we can study your word, we can grow in it, that we can become better servants of yours. So thankful, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity we will have in the upcoming hour of worship. And pray, Heavenly Father, that we will be able to, not only in this class, but in that time as well, to put aside all of our worries and our thoughts of this world and this life, that we might be able to focus upon you and your will for us. God and Father, we're so thankful for the rich blessings of life that you bestow upon us, the physical blessings. Heavenly Father, we would also want to remind ourselves of those of our number who are having health issues right now. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that the things that are being done for them and those who are ministering to them in their health areas will be beneficial, and that they will be restored to their desired health. And if they're missing from us today, that they'll be able to be back just as soon as possible. Heavenly Father, we're blessed and thankful for all the spiritual blessings that you give to us through your Son, Christ Jesus. Ask now, Father, that as we go through this time of Bible study, that we'll train our thoughts and our minds upon you and your will for us, that we might learn from your word and grow from it, become better servants of yours each and every day. All these things we pray through Jesus' name. Amen. When I was kind of prepping for this, actually I was doing a lot of my work before last Sunday, I was thinking about a few things. One of them is, when you really think about wisdom, the wisdom of God is not necessarily, every time you find the wisdom of God, let me rephrase that, every time you think about and you find the wisdom of God, the word wisdom itself is not necessarily going to be in that passage. And why do I say that? Because every page of God's word, if we really want to look at it and we really want to study it, every page of God's word contains his wisdom. How do we know that? Because this book here is the revealed mind and will of God for mankind. Now, it is certainly the case that every bit of God's mind is not in here. We know that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There are things that God knows that we will probably never comprehend, because he's God. He is omniscient. He knows everything. And so when you stop and think about it, when he imparts his word to us, when he gives it to us by means of what we know is the Bible, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God knows how to live his life. We see that as Paul would write to Timothy. So you stop and think about that for just a moment. If we really think about it and we really dig into it, we can find at least hidden nuggets or treasures, if you will, of God's wisdom on every page of the Bible. So it doesn't necessarily have to say, it doesn't have to use that word wisdom. It's going to have practical, applicable information to us. And really, when you stop and think about it, that's really what wisdom is all about, isn't it? We can gain knowledge, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. We can gain knowledge, but knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the practical application, the proper application of that knowledge. That requires understanding. We'll talk about that some in just a little bit. And I think when you stop and think about it, what I have to ask myself, and I would hope that we would all do this, am I really seeking out God's wisdom? Am I doing that? When I open up God's word, and that's where I'm going to get, that's how I'm going to grow in wisdom, is to look at God's word, study God's word, take what God has given me, and then really search to see where is the wisdom here. There is wisdom in every page or on every page. How do I do that? Any thoughts about how do we seek out wisdom? Okay, pray for it. All right, that's certainly the idea. And really, I have that broken down into two parts, and I probably shouldn't. Pray for it. That's akin to the idea of asking God for wisdom. God for wisdom. What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. He asked for wisdom. You look at other passages that we could go to, and we won't spend all the time right now because I'm going to come back to some of these things a little bit. But Matthew chapter 7, I always think about this. Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 8, what does Jesus say? Ask. Okay, seek and knock. That's petitioning. That's trying to find out. Now, I understand what he's talking about here, but the idea is certainly applicable to wisdom. We have to ask God. Ask and what? Come on, help me. Seek. Okay, ask and what? You'll find it. Seek. I always get those backwards. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So you look at that, and really it's this idea of praying for wisdom, asking God, you know, how do I properly use this treasure house, if you will, of information that you're giving me? How do I put that to proper use? So we have to have that mindset of praying or asking for it. What's another way? Do what now?
Fear of the Lord.
Okay. To have the fear of the Lord. That means, I think it actually has a dual point there. And Ryan, you may agree or disagree with this. I don't know. But think about this for just a moment. Fear. Now, we understand we ought to fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Jesus tells us that. But there's reverential awe. We ought to fear God, have that kind of respect and awe and reverence for God. And I saw you here, and I'll get to you just a minute, James. That we have a mindset that says, I want to know what my God has to say to me. I want to know how to apply that properly. So that's a good point. Yes, James.
If you were to look farther down in Proverbs 1, it says that wisdom tries.
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to get to Proverbs 1. That's an excellent point there. You know, that is such a critical point, and I hope I get to that point in time, because it's toward the end of our class that we'll talk about that one. That's an excellent point. Surround yourself with people of great wisdom. You know, let's look at some application. We'll come to application in a minute. But when you stop and think about it, you have great examples of people who sought out wisdom and accepted that wisdom and applied it, and there's who people who would even seek it out, but then they would reject it. We have that all through the Bible. Just a couple that comes to mind, we'll talk about here in just a moment. But it's easy for us to look at what God has offered us and then surround ourselves, because, you know, sometimes, well, we understand what James tells us, that there is a heavenly wisdom and an earthly wisdom. Wisdom that comes down from above is godly wisdom. We understand that. But for people who have imparted themselves or have allowed God's word to impart into their mind and their hearts and then imparted it to others, that's the same thing as God. You know, it's just like us when we preach and teach God's word. I'm not God, but I can study the God's word and I can impart that information to people. And that's how we convert people. Think about it just for a moment. Exodus chapter 18, I think it is. Moses accepted wise counsel. He had a father-in-law, sometimes referred to as Reuel, sometimes Jethro. And the circumstances were that, for lack of a better way to put it in our vernacular today, he was just getting beat down. Moses just could not keep up with all the people who were coming to him with issues and problems and trials and tests. He couldn't do it. He couldn't keep up. And his father-in-law comes to him and says, what are you doing? I'm paraphrasing now. What are you doing? What are you thinking about? Take this and divide this out to other people. You judge only the most difficult, challenging things, almost like, if you will, kind of like our court system sometimes. Okay, I can't handle this for you, or I can't do this, so you go up to the next judge, or you go up to the next, we go to the appeals courts, and finally we end up where? The Supreme Court. That's where we end up in this country. They deal with the most challenging, most difficult subjects and issues and problems, legal problems that we have. Well, that's exactly what Reuel, Jethro, was telling Moses. You take this on. Let these people deal with some of these smaller things. You can't deal with every single problem. What did Moses do? Accepted the advice. That was wise advice. Which, by the way, what do we know about Jethro? He was a priest of what? Midian. Who made him the priest? But Tony and I were actually talking about that. I'm not sure if I have all the answers that I need to have on, or would like to have on that. I'm going to say, because of circumstances and stuff like that, maybe it's an evidence that maybe God made him a priest. But maybe the people of that area made him a priest because of, how about this, some of his great wisdom. Whether it was acceptable or not, that's not a point. But he was somehow seen as a priest of Midian, and whether as God or the people, he came to Moses with great advice, gave it to him. Who didn't take good advice? How about Rehoboam? Rehoboam didn't accept wise advice. He goes to the elders that, listen, if you read that text carefully, it says who stood before Solomon in his days. You don't think these men didn't absorb some of that stuff? Some of that great wisdom that Solomon was imparting to others? And so Rehoboam goes, well, what should I do? The people are complaining. They want relief. And they told him, Make it easier. They'll be your servants forever. And as long as you're king, they're going to work with you. They're going to help you. They're going to reverence your position. Now let me go to my friends. Friends gave them really bad advice. Now you go tell these people. You think it was tough under my dad? Wait for this. I'm going to make it really tough. I'm going to make it hard on you. And that's the advice he went with. So you had, again, in my estimation, if you want to think about it like this, the men who had stood before Solomon all those years, and if you will, absorbed some of that, took that great wisdom in, and then wanted to impart that wisdom to Rehoboam, he rejected. He had his chance, but he didn't do that. He didn't accept, if you will, godly wisdom. He did what? Earthly wisdom. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment, too. So you at least have two examples here of people who Rehoboam, in fairness to him, he did seek counsel. He did surround himself, but the problem is he also surrounded himself with bad counsel. And we're all capable of that. And I think maybe that's that. If I can, that may be one of those little nuggets, if you will, of wisdom that's hidden in those two stories. Two totally different situations, two different outcomes. One accepted it, one didn't. Any thoughts or comments? I can see Ryan just jumping. He's ready to get in and take this class over. He says, "This is getting bad. You need help, Royce." No, go ahead.
Being humble enough to listen to others, but also to decide if it's good or bad. It's kind of unique that you have to have some wisdom to determine what's wise.
True. And maybe that's a good example of Rehoboam just not even having the basic fundamentals of wisdom. He didn't accept that. He had it but wouldn't receive it. So that was a shortcoming in his wisdom. That's a good point. Yes, James.
Proverbs 3, I believe it's verse 4, it says that all by getting get understanding. You can have the wisdom, but if you don't know how to, if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to apply it. You're going to be sitting here, well, what does that mean? And then you're going to say, oh, I think it means this. You're going to walk through the thing instead of going to, like, Rehoboam, one of the wise men, hey, what did my dad mean when he said this? Oh, well, you know, I don't like what they said. Oh, I'm going to go to my friend, I like what my friend said.
Okay. Okay.
With discernment, you have to be able to understand.
Okay, and we're all challenged with the same issue, aren't we? You know, discernment, understanding, and you weave these together, and we'll talk about another one here in just a little bit, but that's a good point there in Proverbs 3. So with that kind of our fundamental starting point here, where does all wisdom inherently reside? In God. Now, yes, we could talk about earthly wisdom, and I think that's almost a oxymoron. There's a sense in which it is. Earthly wisdom. Maybe that's almost a play on words sometimes. But there is earthly wisdom. And I'll say this. That earthly wisdom sometimes can engage certain things that are on a practical side, human side. You know, wisdom, earthly, an example of maybe earthly wisdom, is for a business to at least strive toward having X number of months of reserve in their bank account to cover those several months that may, you know, if something were to really happen and say you couldn't earn any money, your business could not open its doors for a couple of months, you would have that kind of money set back to pay the bills, pay everybody, until you got back on your feet and you could start earning money again. That's maybe an example of earthly wisdom. We'll use that terminology. It's not necessarily a bad thing. But when we're talking about spiritual things, let's not apply earthly wisdom to the spiritual things. That'll get us in trouble in a heartbeat. So all real wisdom, and I put that in quotations on my notes, real wisdom comes from God. Turn your Bibles to, I'll tell you what, let me do this to expedite things a little bit, to speed things up just a little bit. I've got plenty of time. We'll wait on that. Colossians 2. Go to Colossians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 2 and 3. And maybe it's just as well to start back in verse 1. That'll be the easiest thing. Paul writing to the church at Colossae, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together." And I always think about 1 Samuel chapter 18, David and Jonathan, "in love and attaining to all riches of full assurance and understanding, to know, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge." So where does it reside? In both God the Father and God the Son. That's where it resides. That all of it. And to me, that makes a huge statement about why we need to be seeking the wisdom that's from above. We'll come to that here in just a little bit. But we need to be seeking that. We can visit with people. We can talk about people. If I have financial questions and things of that nature, if I need some guidance and maybe some wisdom on something like that, I'll call Lance up. "Lance, can we set an appointment? I'll come see you and see if you can help me out with something." Why? Because he's in that kind of business. There's nothing wrong. His wisdom, things that he's learned over the year, the knowledge that he's gained and to make some applications to it might just help me out. But when we're talking about spiritual things, let's not look to man. That's what's gotten, to me, in my estimation, that's what's gotten the world into the denominational mess that it has now. They were listening to mere human beings. They weren't going to this book and at least measuring up what that human being said to the book. Does that match up? And when you look at the denominational world out there, by and large, what they say does not match up. Oh, it matches up here and there and there, but there are plenty of areas that they don't match. So we need to look to this book. We need to look to God. Let me get some readers real quickly here. Let's get Bobby. Would you mind going to 1 Kings chapter 3, 7-10, and then after we read that and discuss that, I'll have you stay where you are and go to chapter 4, and we'll talk about a few verses there. We talked about James chapter 1, James chapter 3. James, why don't you do those? James chapter 1, James chapter 3, 1, 5, and then chapter 3, 13-17. And we'll stop right there for just a moment. 1 Kings chapter 3.
"Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I did not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people too, numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and who is able to judge this great people. Speech, please, the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing."
Okay. So let's just stop there for just a moment. Here's the wisdom that, in my estimation, that Solomon was already applying, if you will. My father's dead. King David was gone. The kingdom, and I don't know, a million or plus, I don't remember. You hear all, you see different ideas about how many, but I've never seen anything under about a million people. And a nation our size, over 350 million, close to that now, probably, that doesn't impress you, a million. Well, yeah, well, back then, they don't remember, they didn't have all the technology and all the things that could help them navigate these things. Solomon used at least a bit of that wisdom to accept the idea that in his, at least in his mind's eye, God, I'm just a child. I don't have all this experience. I don't have what I need. Help me do this. I think there was there have been some shortcomings in that. I mean, from the standpoint of he often didn't apply the wisdom that God blessed him with in his own life. But the point being is he did ask for that. Bobby, now, if you would, go ahead and turn over to chapter 4 and read verses 12 through 13 and then 4, 29 through 31. Now, did I say that right? Hang on just a moment. No. Chapter 3, 12 through 13. I gave you the wrong. Go ahead.
Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, or shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, but riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days.
Okay. And then, of course, we have a conditional statement after that. I didn't have you read that, but verse 14 says, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes, my commandments, as your father David, then I will lengthen your days. So there is a conditional statement there that God said, now, you, in order to enjoy what I'm promising you, you have to walk in the ways of your father David. Now, was David perfect? No, but we do know he was a man after God's own heart. We do know that he had that penitent heart. He wanted to fix things whenever he was shown to be wrong. Now, Bobby, if you don't mind, I'm almost positive I got this one right. Chapter 4, yes, 29 through the very first part of 31.
God gave Solomon wisdom and exceeding great understanding. Largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men.
Okay. So he was wiser than all men. God blessed Solomon. He gave him, just like he said, because you asked for this, I'm going to give you even more. You asked for wisdom, he got wisdom. And notice, exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart with that. When I think about, of course, we've already discussed kind of the understanding aspect of it, but the largeness of heart, isn't that important for wisdom? What if, for lack of a better way to put it, what if I'm just a mean old hard-hearted person? I don't have that big, honest, good heart toward people. Am I going to apply that wisdom properly? Am I going to use it like I ought to? Do I have that? Do I have a large heart, so to speak, from a spiritual perspective? Do I have that? Do I really care about my fellow man? Not just members of the church, which obviously I do, but what about my fellow man in general? Do I have that largeness of heart? So he was given exactly what he asked for, and then God, I'm going to multiply it. I'm going to give you even more. but now you got to use it wisely. And I'm going to say one of the first things that he did wrong, in my estimation, was he did something that he wasn't supposed to do, and that's multiply wives and horses. In other words, a military turned this thing into a giant, if you will, juggernaut. So he didn't always follow exactly, but he was given that. Okay, James, if you would, read James 1:5 first and then hold off. We'll talk about that one.
If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and others not, and it shall be given.
Okay. What does God promise here? If we lack wisdom, what? Ask of God, right? Ask of God. Ask and it will be given. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Let him ask of God, who what gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. God's not going to rebuke us. He's not going to shame us for asking for wisdom. And the idea of to me of giving to all liberally is the same idea as giving in an abundance. God's going to abound in his gift toward us. We have to be humble enough, pointed out by Brother Ryan. We have to have that spirit of humility that says, I can't do everything on my own. I need your help, God. Is not in man who walks to direct his own, what? Steps. Okay, we understand that. Here, when you stop and think about what he's saying here, is if we just ask God for wisdom, that good and honest and understanding heart, that largeness of heart, if you will, and we ask in sincerity, God's going to give it to us. He's going to bless us. Now, you know, I may not wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and think, you know, wow, there's a nugget of wisdom. Most time when I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, that's where I put that thing. You know, I look and look and look and can't find it. And I'm going, okay, I'll remember later. Well, I'll remember at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know. And then inevitably what I do, I'm not going to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and go get that thing. I'll wait until the morning, the next morning. So where did I remember putting that? That happens, okay. That's reality. But here's what we're looking at here. God will bless us. He will give to us. Now, James, if you would continue on and read James chapter 3, 13 through 17.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation and work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Okay. Now, this particular section starts out, who is wise and understanding among you? That goes back to have a little bit of wisdom to start with. Let him show by his conduct, the way he lives, our examples that we set, that his works are done in what? Meekness and wisdom. We can do things that are good in and of themselves, but not done in a proper way. How about this? I want to be seen by men of my good works. Got a problem here, don't we? I can do things that on the surface may look like the good thing, the right thing to do, but inside, I've got an ulterior motive or something. So we need to be careful about that. But he goes on and he talks about, if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, there's a problem, in your heart, do not boast and lie against the truth. This kind of wisdom does not descend from above. Where is it? It's from earthly things, sensual. In fact, devilish or demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there too. See, when it's all about me, when I look at, this goes to covetousness, to envy and self-seeking. Whenever I have that covetous mind, I'm envious of what somebody has, and it's, now it's all about me, man, I get myself tangled up in so many problems that you know, it's going to be hard to extricate myself from them. It's going to be hard to get myself out of that stuff. What I've got to have is a proper heart and mind. What's the proper heart and mind? James answers that, doesn't he? Listen to him very carefully. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure. And I've thought about that a little bit. Why pure? Why start with pure? Well, it comes from a Greek word, and if I'm pronouncing it simple, one syllable, but I think it's mane, something like that. It means to be pure and sure, the idea of without contamination. God's wisdom is not contaminated with sin. It's not contaminated with self-serving. It's not contaminated with envying. And I guess we could probably go on and on and on and list some things here. That's not what God's wisdom is about. It's pure. It's clean. It's completely, if I can add the word wholesome, God's wisdom is wholesome. And it's pure. It doesn't have all the contamination in it. That sometimes we can, if we're not careful, we can let seep into our, quote, wisdom. Continue on with that. Then it's peaceable. In other words, it brings peace. Wisdom brings peace. Wisdom is not about, if I can use the expression, starting a fight. Starting a war. Yes, Eric. Okay. And there is a, yeah, there is a what? Peace of God that surpasses what? All understanding. That's where peace comes from. And add to that, as we go through this list, gentle. Again, wisdom's not out there to be forceful and to beat somebody down. Real wisdom that comes from God is the idea of gentleness or meekness. And by the way, don't confuse, if you're reading the King James, sometimes you see the word meek or meekness. He's not talking about weak. That's not what it is. Meekness is strength wrapped in humility. Be humble enough to know that I need to go to God for some answers. In fact, I would also might advance most answers that I have questions about. I need those answers that come from God. Then willing to yield. Are we willing to yield? Do we have the kind of wisdom that is imparted to us from God through His Word to say, your will, not mine? Whose humility went that far before the cross? Jesus said what? He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to, his physical aspect did not want to go hang on that cross. He was a human and he's both God and man. Do you think that physical aspect, knowing what it would be like to have nails driven into your hands and your feet and the scourging that he went through, you think he really wanted to do that from a physical standpoint? No. Who would? Man, I'm walking through the house and I snag my toe on a table chair or something, and I'm table or chair foot. I'm hopping around like some sort of a goose in there. It hurts, and that's nothing in comparison to what he went through. Zero. So you think about these things, and am I willing to yield to God's desires, God's wisdom? Am I willing to do that? Go on. Full of mercy. Are we a merciful people? Are we a merciful people? what's the real difference between grace and mercy? We know that. You know, does somebody who hurts us or offend us in some way maybe does deserve, and I'm going to use this terminology, not that I would literally do it, but punched in the nose. Maybe they really do deserve that. But I'm going to be merciful. You know what? I don't know this person's circumstances entirely. I don't know. I don't know what thing got to that person that day. You know, maybe he's had just a horrible day. Maybe he's been falsely accused of things. I don't know what him. Maybe the thing to do is to be merciful. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't strike back. Okay, look, I don't know what his problems are. Let's move on with this. You don't have to retaliate. So we can be merciful people. Full of God's fruits. Think about that for just a moment. Of good fruit. Well, that's God's fruit. Good fruit. Can't read my own writing. Hang in there. Good fruit. Being without partiality. Without what? Hypocrisy. All of these things are so critical. We want wisdom from God, and you look at these, every one of these words, pure, peaceable, gentle, or meek, willing to yield, that concept, full of mercy, full of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, you can find all through the scriptures if you'll just look. We can find those being employed, if you will. Any thoughts before we move just a little bit further on? Y'all are awfully quiet today. Okay, good point. Jesus is the Prince of Peace.
Yes, sir. So we want to become like
Jesus. Okay. Okay, so we're not going to finish everything. If you can kind of stick your arm out and grab Velt and not let him go ring that bell, that would be helpful. Let me skip a couple of things and go to this real quickly. Age is no guarantee of wisdom. Okay. I have met some older people, older men, that lacked wisdom in an enormous amount, if you can say it that way. They just didn't have, they didn't exercise good wisdom. A good example of that, and we don't have time to read it, but Job chapter 32, verses 1 through 12, a man by the name of Elihu, younger than Job's miserable comforters, Job chapter 16, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, they lacked wisdom. And here this younger one comes in, Elihu says, listen, I've kept my mouth shut all this time because y'all are older and supposed to be wiser, and you haven't found an answer yet. Now, I don't agree with everything Elihu came up with. That's not the point. He saw that these people who were older that were supposed to have wisdom, he saw they weren't imparting that wisdom. They weren't doing that. And so he tells them essentially that very thing. Let me have a shot at Job, because y'all aren't getting the job done. You lack that wisdom. Then number three point, and I'll have to hurry. James brought up Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. We don't have time to read that. But let me make a real quick point on this. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 23. How often do we stop? And I've done it in my preaching. I've done it in classes before. Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, that's my point. We're talking about truth. But I don't continue on. But guess what it also says? Buy wisdom and understanding too. You see, there are some things that are priceless. God-given truth is priceless. God-given wisdom is priceless. When we find something, what do? We, Jesus gives us two parables. One about a man who buys a field and finds a treasure and then goes and buys that field, ready to give up everything because of that treasure. Another one who is a merchant, he finds a pearl of great value, great price. He goes and sells everything he has just to purchase that one pearl. Well, truth is like that, but understanding and wisdom are like that too. Once we have obtained the truth, once we've obtained wisdom, don't give it back. Don't compromise it. Don't give it up. Has the bell rung? I haven't heard it yet, but then that's not unusual. I'm talking too much. I'm going to stop it right there. Any comments or thoughts before we depart? And Wednesday, he'll be back. Yes. Okay.
The crown of glory.
Yeah.
And not today, but normally gray hair is considered to be a sign of wisdom, and yet a lot of people today, because they went and they got a PhD, they got all that common sense, and they don't have as much wisdom as they used to.
Good point. Good point. And just for you younger people who don't know what the hoary head means, that's a gray-headed person. That implies age, you know. So, but thank you. Appreciate that and appreciate your thoughts and your comments. And like I say, Brian should be back Wednesday.